Hi. I got a tape I want to play.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
Your move, creep.
Take me to the volcano!
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Come with me if you want to live.
This town needs an enema.
Dr. Kidd, I need a bacchiatomy.
Yes, that's a human ear, all right.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So it's come to this. We were in the mood.
Always, right? In the mood, yeah.
It just came up. I don't remember how it came up other than we love the guy. It's been probably 30 or 40 episodes since we've covered our most probably frequently talked about guy.
This is our main man here, yeah. No, I think I've been in the mood for some Nicolas Cage.
Been in the mood for Nick Cage.
Yeah, I'm Charlie.
I'm Eric.
This is a movie podcast.
We've talked about Nicolas Cage a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the biggest fan. You led so many people to the way.
I try.
You know, you stood tall. You were proud during Ghost Rider.
I went to the second one.
You pushed the Ghost Rider.
Give it another shot.
Yeah. And, you know, Nick Cage has like went through this such a long period of being like this meme to a whole different generation of moviegoers, right? That now suddenly in the last few years, all those people are growing up and being like courting Nick Cage for roles specifically written for Nick Cage. So it went through this crazy era of this guy acts constantly. But 20 years ago, it was like, what's this dude got to do?
Yeah, yeah.
To pay off his like pants budget.
Exactly. His snakeskin jacket budget was through the roof.
He's got one of those like, he's like Johnny Depp without bad vibes. Like people don't have bad things to say about him, but it's like he spent $800,000 on bracelets.
Right.
Like, that can't be right.
It's like, he didn't necessarily do anything criminal, like Robert Downey Jr. or something, right?
Yeah.
But,
right.
Yeah.
He's like, just the beloved side of that pie of, like, this guy that owns too much jewelry, probably, and, like, a big jacket budget, and is like, look, I'm living in New Orleans, film a movie with me. Like, it seemed like he was had to hustle and, like, bite from his mid to late 90s peak.
Yeah.
As, like, the cinema god, right?
Yeah, it definitely seemed like he bit off more than he could chew in life, right?
Big time.
And then, yeah, when it dropped off there in the 2000s, it was a rough patch for the little guy. But
like, it very easily could have happened where he's on. There's other guys we love, like Michael Paré, who never had the Nicolas Cage success, but could have had the same kind of career. And he acts all the time, but it's always like, man, bottom row Redbox action movie, and Michael Paré showing up as like a wing commander.
Yeah, yeah.
In one scene, it's just like, yep. You know? So I get that, right? But it seemed like Cage could have just done that and ended up there. And now it's just been this growing build of, like, people wanting him for things again.
I was just thinking, too, like, we say that, but it's been, you know, 6 years since Mandy came out. Like, he's been going strong.
Mandy was such a
more than half a decade,
like, the perfect
fusion. And
even
before then, you know.
The crossing over.
Yeah.
And you look at his last decade, it's like, I am seeing as much Cage as I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. He is dominating these indie movies that all seem written perfectly for him. I saw 4 Nicolas Cage movies in the theater last year. That's insane.
That's pretty great, right?
You can say what we want about the state of movie theaters.
Yeah.
But seeing 4 Cage movies in a calendar, you couldn't do that in 1997.
And really, maybe only one from that last year was like a big marketed, you know, the Renfield movie was like the only one that was really like a bigger movie with other, you know, star actors. Usually it's just him and
it is him selling it.
Some young kids hungry to make a movie. That's what it feels like. You know, it's always like,
Nicolas Cage is living this cool vibe, like he's orchestrating, he's just doing these super personal projects that just feel like made for him. Mandy was huge for us, but Pig put it to such a new level where you can legitimately say with a straight face that Nicolas Cage has been the best actor of the last decade. You could make that argument. Pig was such a moving film. I have thought about that film as much, if not more, than like any movie I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah. He's really good at picking these filmmakers to work with that have such a point of view or just like a voice that is not just some mainstream action, you know, blueprint generic kind of movie. Every one of the movies that he's been in, in the last 6 to 8 years now, is like an interesting.
It's really good.
To me, like attention grabbing, whether it's him or not, like these are like just interesting.
He's finding real good like collaborators. Movies.
Yeah.
The idea of somebody writing a role for Nicolas Cage like could suck, depending on if you're like, you're the guy with the bees.
Yeah.
Writing a role for Cage, right? But a lot of these people really seem like they understand the stuff that would do really, he would kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and kills it. Mandy blew me away. Pig, like, just sunk me. Right? What a move. What a thinker. What, like, a beautiful and weird and sad movie, right? And it hasn't stopped. I did not like Renfield. I thought Renfield was bad. You know what wasn't bad? The 20 minutes of Renfield that Nicolas Cage is Dracula.
Yeah.
And he's incredible. One of those movies where you would be stoked if the rest of Renfield wasn't so aggressively annoying. To be like, dude, Nicolas Cage as this vampire. Last year I saw my first Nicolas Cage Western, The Old Way. A great Western. And then
we'll
later...
We'll probably be doing it soon, right?
Yeah, right? Almost, it was like a coin flip between that and this and that, right? And then later in the year, I saw my second Nicolas Cage Western in the theater when I saw Butcher's Crossing. These are Nicolas Cage movies that weren't playing at the theater. There was a time where you couldn't just go and see a Cage movie in a theater for a few years, right? It was streaming, it was Redbox. That was where he was living for a bit, and it didn't seem like it would stop being that.
But then it was also that generic stuff. He was just in these generic Bangkok Dangerous kind of movies where you're just like, I don't know why bother.
Bangkok Dangerous era, right?
Yeah. And even, you know, like to me, what's so great is that he's choosing or getting to work with, like I said, just interesting, offbeat, mostly exclusively A24 kind of stuff, right? Like right. A24 is like, he's their go-to guy now.
It's cool that production companies can start banking on specific actors now.
Yeah.
Right? He's being banked on, like for, he's like they're taking a freelance star and like partnering with him. It feels like no different than Canon with Bronson.
Mm-hmm.
Canon with Chuck Norris, right? It's, it's like A24 is like, we're going to give Cage the comeback he deserves. I said comeback earlier, and it feels kind of insulting. It's backhanded, right? But, brother,
it's the new era. It's his new, you know, his new age.
As much as I love Nicolas Cage, I've never laughed harder at him than the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Sure.
That is one Amazing of the movie. Best lead comedy roles ever. That he is doing award-level work again.
Mm-hmm.
And you could not say that for like a 20-year stretch, right? There was a very few that used to be like, this is like, where was he in 2011? That you could be like, I guess you could maybe stretch it with Bad Lieutenant 2.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a reach, right? And now you can make that
argument.
Or it's
argument. Like maybe the people weren't ready for him back in
Bad I don't Lieutenant know, man. 2. You think like you one know, of the Bangkok of Dangerous sequels is like, it holds up. It holds up.
Well, it's good to...
he was playing like Fu Manchu in like a Grindhouse trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like he was slumming. He was always Nicky. He's always Nicky, right? Nick Cage always smooches
fucking
good.
Cage.
But yeah, man, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is so funny. And he is so funny in it. And it was like, it was so perfect. I laughed so... My face hurt in the theater. It's like, how am I seeing Nicolas Cage movies in the last 3 years that have made me cry, that have changed the way I think about the world, that have made me like laugh this hard. Like, he is just killing it. Unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
So comeback seems almost backhanded, but like, no, man, this is a guy like, he should be getting awards now. Pig should have been all over awards. Those kind of movies don't have the promotional budget to
It's not a comeback.
Get that, right?
Yeah, he never stopped.
He never went away.
But he's in his groove right now. I think he's in his golden era here. And this Dream Scenario is one I've been wanting to watch since I heard about it.
We went with this one because neither of us had seen it, right?
Yeah. This just seems that perfect example of the kind of weird, offbeat, independent, kind of interesting movie that I love seeing him.
I thought this was a Charlie Kaufman movie.
I could see
that's
yeah.
as much as I knew about Dream Scenario. So I went in, going to see the
it's
new,
in that alley,
going for right? the new Cage Kaufman joint.
That would be cool.
And I loved our adaptation episode, yeah. by the way. That's another one. We've done like six Cage episodes.
See, yeah, and that one, that's 2002. That's, you know,
that's the last of the award, you know. Yeah. He was still the weatherman.
Yeah.
He was still, there's still Cage. There's Cage every, like, it never yeah. stopped.
It's always good.
There's good stuff. It just got more obscure, more on rentals, less in theaters. Now he's back at the box office mm-hmm. more than it is. He's not making the money pictures. There are all these great, respectable indies. Mandy, you can't argue in any way for an Oscar. They're not ready for it. But Pig? That could have been Winter's Bone.
Yeah.
If budgets right. were different, right? Nick Cage's career is there. He was at the awards ceremonies this year. He was a guy in the crowd sitting with important people. Not getting treated like a weird guy who's going to die like Brendan Fraser.
Now that's a fucking comeback.
That's a comeback, that but also a, it feels really comeback. Like he has imminent death syndrome and we all have to be really gentle with Brendan. Like we all have to celebrate him in a really like, he laugh did loud. It, guys. Come yeah. on. Like clap. Yeah. For, so
laugh
it's not
Brendan.
Like, yeah. Hollywood loves a comeback, right?
Yeah.
Hollywood does love that. They hold him down, but then they loved giving an Oscar nomination to like Eddie Murphy. They loved doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They loved giving it when they want, right? So they loved the Fraser stuff. They loved giving Brendan Fraser the, like, everybody clap.
Right. And, of course, we saw four Brendan Fraser movies in the theaters last year, too.
Jeez, I've been seeing so much Fraser.
I'm glad that worked out for him.
Fraser's everywhere. I've seen that
That's
one.
That's always the weirdest one. When the guy hasn't worked for 20 years, comes back, wins an Oscar, and then it's just like, and
you didn't see,
anything. That's it.
He's really
you just
great
the
in
the one fat suit.
Killers of the
huh?
Flower Moon.
Oh yeah, yeah. He is in that.
Really good in that one. And that one picture of the whale that I know. That one still photo.
Yeah,
I've seen that like dozens of times. So I think I'm pretty familiar with
it
the whale too.
Award worthy. Yeah.
But Nick Cage is here. Pig is a masterpiece. I think it's a classic. And Old Way is movie. I keep finding myself rating all these Cage movies higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one in theaters called The Retirement Plan. This is some direct-to-DVD Nicolas Cage, but it's like Rohnert Park Theater was playing everything.
Yeah, right.
They were just playing bootlegs. It's like, we got to fill 16 theaters for cheap Tuesdays, right? We're going out of business. We got to hook them somehow. So I'm seeing really obscure horror movies and like, just straight to Redbox Nicolas Cage movies in the theater. Retirement Plan's got Cage, Jackie Earle Haley,
mm-hmm.
and Ron Perlman. And it's like an old guy's crime boss battle movie.
Nice.
Jackie Earle Haley's amazing. Nicolas Cage is like moved to Florida beach bum, retired hitman. And Perlman's the like dumb lummox hitman. I am in heaven.
That's a stretch.
I am in, yeah. Ron Perlman plays like an ape-like dumb hitman. It's crazy. The realistic hunch
this guy
has. I do
want to see that
one
too, yeah.
It's great. I mean, it's not.
They all look good. That's the thing. They all,
it's so good. I was in heaven watching this, right? Yeah. I was in heaven watching these guys, and it's like, how am I getting to see a new Nicolas Cage movie every 3 months
yeah.
in the dark? It's
working
nuts.
His ass off.
And somehow, for a guy who saw Butcher's Crossing in the theater, I missed Dream Scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see when it played. So I watched Dream Scenario, the new Charlie Kaufman movie today, and it kind of ruined my day.
Mm.
This is going to be one of our classic episodes where I need to think about it for a month, but we're doing it like an hour.
Yeah.
After watching it when I haven't had time to think through anything. This movie, like, I had to pause multiple times.
It's because
of how much it was bothering me.
Yeah, it's peculiar, right? It's a little bit of, it's funny. It's kind of a comedy. It's got it's got moments where you think it's going to delve into horror. It's got cringy relationship drama. It's got pathetic white man syndrome kind of drama. And it kind of just floats on this surface of all of those things at once. And I liked it a lot. I'm like still.
So I think I loved it. I think it moved me in such a visceral way that I have to like give it a gotta hand it to.
Mm.
You know, especially like looking at last year, like, you know, I think it definitely ranks with some of the, feels like for me, some of the best. But also, again, it bothered me in ways that like I dislike it and I can't see seeking it tons. But now I'm just been thinking about it. And it, I had to pause it multiple times because this movie is like kind of my dream and also like my biggest nightmare. Right,
I think on purpose. Yeah,
and this is a nightmare, and this hits kind of same buttons as Beau Is Afraid. Whereas Beau Is Afraid, we laughed throughout, laughed out loud,
hilarious.
Right? And but it's a purposely so over the top, ridiculous, stressful vibe.
I'm so sorry. That bit, yeah.
You know, our Beau Is Afraid episode is good, but it was just this purposely overly intense. And we were watching it in a room full of people who were treating it like dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
It is so silly. It's a silly movie that knows it's silly for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And this gives me the same stress while also stopping to be like a fucked up Todd Solondz movie every like 10 minutes while also being It Follows.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. Also, just one of those movies that forces me to think about my place in the universe, which always is very, I'm an emotional guy, and these movies are just like make me think too hard about myself and how I would handle these kind of things. And for a movie that's, I think, you know, Beau Is Afraid was supposed to be like a 3-hour anxiety attack, right? This dream scenario made me anxious the entire time in a way that I thought was funny in Beau Is Afraid. This one, I laughed while also feeling like my heart shouldn't be racing during, like, it stressed me out.
It's definitely one of those where you're going like, I don't know where this is going. It can go dark.
Yeah.
And
I started fearing the dark, right?
Yeah, you're waiting for it to just go real ugly. And it is, it's got a lot of good, funny moments, but it's one of those where it puts you in the place of the character. You're not just merely watching this action unfold and going like, aha, rich people got it tough or something. It's when we're going, what would I do?
Yeah.
How would I react to this? Because I'm like this guy where I'm nothing special. This is, you know, the mild-mannered guy who shows up in everyone's dreams. And at first he's like the celebrity and they want to market him. And then when the dreams turn bad, he's public enemy number one. I'm just giving the big... And the whole time it's like, yeah, what would you do if suddenly everyone turned on you for no reason?
Yeah.
Or what would you do if suddenly everyone wanted to share these deep personal things with you?
No, it's a really fascinating...
How
like,
would you handle that?
You know, I just watched it earlier today. I've been so excited to see this one, but also I kind of knew it was going to be something that would just really mess with me and bother me in this kind of mental way. And... But seeing, you know... Having not much time to think about it, it's a really good, you know, the way it handles fame and the way that our fame now is constructed, where there's some random chance and everybody also thinks they have that chance. There's a weird like quest for like fame now that I don't think we always got 20 years ago, right? Things have changed.
Yeah.
The internet has changed things for this way. And this idea that I could see myself really stepping in it accidentally and know that I would make every wrong decision and like accidentally just banana peel my way through like becoming the most hated man, or like I could, you know, that's one of these things. Right,
I totally walk around going like, remember, someone's probably got you on camera somewhere, like if you do anything dumb. I always have that in the back of my mind, is like, yeah. One of my big things in life is like, don't make enemies with random people or anything.
Sure.
Right? Like, don't get into fights. Don't start shit. But what if someone just like hates you because they saw you, you know, slip and fall on the sidewalk and everyone's making fun of you and you get mad at them? And then,
yeah,
it's just that one. Yeah. It's like that thing of, yeah, there's no more just like movie stars or people on TV. Like, anyone could have their face plastered everywhere for the dumbest thing.
We could go viral for such an... It's going to be an embarrassing reason more than it's going to be a cool reason.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll save like a dog from a fire. Maybe. But more so I'll like shit my pants at the movies. And I become the guy who's like passed out drunk with his like dick out.
Yeah.
And that guy. It's like you can... It's not him, but you can tell it's him.
We're both a lot closer to passed out dick drunk than dog saving from a fire.
Yeah. So it's like we know our place. And it's like I think we know like any moment. You know, this past week driving in Jersey, I like had to pull an illegal U-turn on one of those cop turnouts and then immediately ran a toll booth right afterwards. So it could have easily been just one of those like
pictures of you in Jersey.
These asshole back, you know, crazy drivers, you know, it's all on camera.
Yeah.
I don't know. We can be, we're monitored constantly. Anything embarrassing could come out about any one of us. It's just waiting to happen. And this movie so captures the fear of that. The fear of fame. You know, fame seems really good to some people mm-hmm. that don't think about it. And I bet in a lot of ways it's good to be the king. But I bet there's some days. I bet there are some days.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine just being famous? Can you imagine being like a cast member of The Office, which is played in women's and daytime TV watchers' brains for 15 years now? And if they just see Angela in the grocery store, they could suddenly go into like a Sarah Connor, like blind rage.
Yeah.
You know, people think they know you.
Well, especially the bit early on in the movie where the crazy guy breaks in to the house. And sure. That whole thing of the mentally unstable people who now know who you are and have opinions about you and want to let you know what those opinions are. All that stuff was really unsettling in the movie.
It's so bothersome. But this idea that fame isn't that far away, you know, I hate these Charlie Kaufman movies, like, I connect with on a certain way. And I know, I forget, some guy that did this thing, I've heard of his previous movie, Sick of Myself.
Okay.
Which is like he's from like Norway, this I believe.
Christopher Borgli.
He's from Norway. This is like
writer director, but
a major step, right?
Yeah,
I keep saying a Charlie Kaufman movie because
this seems like the big breakthrough for America here. Yeah,
they bother me in the same way, and they capture this thing where Nicolas Cage is such a sad guy Cage role, right?
Yeah.
Not only do I see him constantly, I'm seeing him in so many ways. He is a badass in the old way.
Mm-hmm.
He is a different badass in Pig. He's a buffalo trapper in Buffalo's Crossing.
Yeah, Butcher's Crossing.
he's going through, we're seeing him as Dracula, for pity's sake, right? We're seeing him do beach bum Matthew McConaughey kind of stuff. I am.
Yeah.
In the retirement plan. I was there that day. And now this is just like... Cage is like Paul Giamatti.
Exactly.
A Nicolas Cage, Stephen Tobolowsky.
The bald Nicolas Cage. The big puffy jacket wearing tenured bald professor nerd Nicolas Cage here. This is something else.
Bald Nicolas Cage always gives me specific John Travolta playing a bald guy vibes. They really seem like they hit the same notes. Nicolas Cage in all those westerns is exactly like John Travolta in A Valley of Violence.
Yeah.
Like they hit that same bald guy note.
They're two, famously longtime bald actors who've been wearing wigs for 20 years. Except now Travolta kind of in public is like, lets it be bald. Whereas Cage still's got the piece, so.
Cage has like,
at this one, I was like.
The piece singular?
I don't remember his back of his head being so flat, vertical.
Heads are getting flat these days,
right? What's going on with that?
I've been noticing so many actor profiles with flat heads, and it really made me think about what my head looks like from the side.
Yeah.
I think I have a pretty good profile.
See. I think there's a good roundedness there to your head,
but there's a lot of flat heads. Is it the horseshoe? Is it a deception? Because I think noticing it with Larry David.
Oh, yeah.
Like this season of Curb, it's like, man, his head is flat back there.
Or they put babies on the back of their heads too much, I think, back in the day.
Maybe. It really seems like a hard right angle.
Yeah.
I never
noticed his head was so vertical.
Maybe it is like an illusion with the horseshoe haircut.
Maybe.
Because he's got that full, like, Stephen Tobolowsky.
He does.
Peace, right?
Yeah.
We don't. He's. I wonder if Nicolas Cage, like, what it really is. Like, do you think he has like a little tuft? You know,
I don't know, man. I think,
like, what is it really?
I think it's probably Lex Luthor. He just went, you know, just take it off.
No, but it's got to have at least like some on the edges, right? Like, I wonder what his level is, what it really is. Because at this point, you know,
the idea of like a wig that's like a horseshoe balding wig, though. Like, he's just got the.
Well, I mean, this had to be a piece, right? Yeah. He's just doing it. Yeah. It's like he's Ross next door pretending to be watching TV. He's like just a wig over his existing hair shoe.
Yeah.
We can't know. We don't know what it is.
I don't know if I want to know. I like the mystery.
For a guy who clearly has it in his rider that he chooses his hair every movie.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't believe for a second that anybody else has any say over what his hair is. I think he has to have 100%, right? For a guy, I don't know anything about this,
really.
I'd
let him have that, yeah.
But I don't think a director's like, we're going to put you in the curly wig. I bet he's the one telling Kaufman brothers, both of them.
Yeah.
No, this brother's wearing the short, schlubby, curly wig.
I could see that. But he's
choosing these cuts.
He's not gonna sabotage you with the hair choices. He knows what the piece wants. You know what I also really like about Nick Cage is I feel like he has an actual dedication to the craft, to the art of it.
Well, of course.
You know, he actually loves what he's doing. This is an actor. He's not.
He
just
loves
paying.
Acting.
I mean, he is paying bills, but he's doing this stuff because he likes it. And so I feel like I could really sense that in this movie, him just really having fun with this kind of moronic, pathetic character that he is.
A real sad. That's the salons element of this. Is this guy who is a smart guy, but he's just socially awkward and a dweeb.
Yeah.
Kind of unsexy and unconfident.
Kind of unsexy.
Right?
Yeah. But a guy who's like always wanted to do, like, I really related to that idea of like, I've always wanted to write a book, and he's, you know, has this idea and he's never been able to do it.
Yeah.
And he's got these kind of yearnings that he's just never.
He really
acted
wants
upon.
To be. He's a man who wants to be treated with respect.
Yeah,
who's kind of gone unnoticed.
Right.
The irony of the unnoticed man becoming too noticed, getting what he wants, thinking he's getting what he wants, until he realizes it's totally different and worse, and it's getting unspeakably worse.
And his
the nightmare scenario we get into here, right?
His kind of joyful geeking out when he does become popular and famous for having these dreams, and he gets to go on TV, and he's just kind of got this like, look at me happiness, his kind of aw shucks.
Dude, that's why the dream scenario really portion great. Of this is like, of course I think about that.
Yeah.
Of course we dream about hitting a lottery of some kind, right? Something that puts us over. What if tacos could do like a cool trick? What if tacos became like a meme cat somehow? Yeah. I'm just like, no, I quit my job. My life is tacos photos.
That
now.
I would like to do.
Right? You know, there's dream scenarios out there that can just one day just bite us right in the ass, right? We don't know.
I am saving up to get a designer dog just for that purpose.
Right. You know, these are things that you don't get to choose always, right? You can't manifest your own destiny. Michael Richards didn't go out one night being like, I know what I'm doing. Like, Richards didn't go out knowing that he would be defined forever one night. It can happen to any of us. Some are more likely. But
sometimes,
like,
your friend drives a little too slowly in the Bronco and it changes your life forever.
Yeah, changes everything, right? Anything can happen. We've seen some good movies about this premise. It can be bad. Like, I really love the movie The Lookout.
Mm.
You know, we watched that one with Bone.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just
gotta
like
kill Bone
killing
first.
Your friends in a car accident. Just like, there's that life, right? These scenarios can happen. You can either get internet famous for a cool guy thing, for a non-problematic guy thing. Jared from Subway didn't have to be problematic.
Yep, right.
But then you think...
But there's so many of those guys out there, like, this movie really, and when they got into the memes and stuff, too, it was very much like, yeah, we're, like, there's a bunch of people that we just know for, like, smiling weird. Or, like, I don't think a month goes by where I don't think about the guy who just yelled out, like, they're raping everybody out here, like, that guy. From the news.
We don't choose who we get to, like, have to live with,
and,
right?
Someone today at the office was, like, was doing that thing where they were talking about the kid who's interviewed at the at the fair or something. The kid is like, well, actually, and they're like, and we're playing clips of this kid,
megastar,
12 years ago.
Yeah,
that's an adult man now.
This kid's an adult,
and
he's
only
going to
be known for being the kid who's like, well, actually, I went on the roller coaster.
I don't. These memes, are, sure. And yeah, celebrity and fame is different now. It changed.
Yeah.
Things changed, right? Things have changed the last 25 years. The ways to become famous have been altered. Not for the best, right?
Yeah.
Fame is different. Celebrity is different. It was good to not know. It was good not knowing. It was cool listening to records and being just like, I have no idea what the band Boston is like. What could Boston be? Now we would know so much about Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, get out of here, Boston. That is too much, right? Fame can come from anywhere. We know way too much about too many people. And anything bad can come out about any one of us any second. I am like, one day away from actually accidentally running through a street of kids.
Yeah.
Right. It's about something's gonna happen, right? And it could be the thing you become known for. And that idea of like how fame can seem so attractive. But it's like, yeah, there's degrees.
Yeah.
There's levels, right? There's infamous, there's fame, there's profiting enough to escape the fame. But man, just even imagine if you were like one of those diarrhea ads where you're like the visual representation of diarrhea.
Yeah.
And you're like holding your stomach and like you didn't know this commercial was going to be playing for 2.5 months. You had no idea they were going to cheap out and just kind of re-edit the ad and keep like lengthening and redoing the hem.
Yeah.
You had no idea. And now like girls are recognizing you. Now you're famously the guy with the diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could happen to any one of us. We might be not even imagining the worst thing. Again, I can tell you, I can promise you, Michael Richards wouldn't have guessed in a million years what he was going to be most famous for that night. You ask him an hour before, any idea what's it going to be? He wouldn't have guessed. He wouldn't have gotten there, right?
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Nobody could have seen it coming, least of all Richards. It could have been Wayne Knight.
But imagine if someone just dreamt about Michael Richards saying the N-word a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then we all formed an opinion based on that. Like, what if we all had a dream where Kramer swoops into the apartment and starts yelling racist shit?
Yeah.
And then we're all like, Michael Richards is an asshole. I hate him.
Imagine coming over.
It's like
coming over to record and we're sitting outside. Before we knock another one out, before we knock out another cage, before we cover another base,
mm-hmm.
without even doing Con Air, we're knocking him out. The guy's the king, right? Imagine you just bring up just like, I had a weird dream. No matter what the dream was, if I had the same dream, it would be an immediate Village of the Damned lockdown scenario.
Yeah.
Immediately would be like, lock the door. Like I'd be checking for bugs. It's like things have changed. The world, it seems like world changing if you and I locked up on a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is.
That is kind of the one thing missing in this movie, is there should have been a point where they put electrodes on his head and studied him like a monkey. Like the phenomenon of millions of people in the world dreaming about one guy who's a real person, who has no connection to them or to each other. Like, yeah, that should have, like, stopped business for a day.
So, the world changed, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. It's like, if an Earth 2 was discovered, it'd be like, I'm not going into the office today.
Yeah.
If people are dreaming all the same dreams, it's just like, I'm phoning her in on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're going to take a breather. We're going to kind of buckle down and wait till some things are sorted out, and, right?
Yeah, like let's get a couple scientists on board to maybe do a couple experiments. Yeah.
And so I do kind of like, though, at the same time, you know, we kind of live, I get the impression a lot that all news is kind of treated on the same plane now. We've kind of smoothed down those edges. So every day, like a new thing just kind of happens.
Right.
And so it's not really treated as the biggest event, because a lot of things are treated as the biggest thing. You know, there's a lot of hyperbole and everything's like, well, fine, we got old Donald Trump this time.
Yeah.
We got him this time for like 17 years now.
That would be like, yeah, this report would be in the middle of like two Trump trial news stories. Like, also,
yeah,
more people claim to be
dreaming about Richards dropping N's. Three-time Emmy award-winning Michael Richards cited as not having actually dropped N's. Like, it would be building on B3.
Yeah.
And the others just like, we got him again. Oh, never. Better luck next time.
That's true.
And it would just be buried, right? Fame is so fleeting, and what chooses to stay is so unpredictable. What actually lasts through the meme, right? Like, I could easily see some weird dream occurrences that people are just like, fake. It's all fake.
Oh, yeah.
Because if this would happen, of course, we would all be skeptical enough now to view it as some kind of viral thing. And, you know, when it just keeps getting more and more nightmarish and more of the... God, this movie just kept hitting me in the guts.
Mm.
This, fame is weird. We all get tiny tastes of it, right? We've all had things. We've said something even small. You said something in a group, five people laugh, right? Get a little boost. We all have our own little level of ego, right? Yeah. We all like to be told like some nice things, right? But you and I went on a TV show. We did things, you know? And it would be weird if somebody like came up and like not only recognized us from the TV show, which has happened, but also like dreamed about us since. And the dreams like repeat. And then somebody they know dreamed about us.
Yeah.
Finding out anybody dreams about you is also another like funny thing about this movie, because it really plays to our vanity that the only way dreams are at all any bit worth listening to is if you are a factor in them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the coolest, weirdest, strangest dream I've ever had, it does not play. Nobody wants to hear anybody's dreams. I don't know who you went to, like, who you played, like, Little League with. So it wouldn't be weird that you were at the movie theater, but it was also a different movie theater. It doesn't play. It doesn't play. When do I show up?
And they never make sense either, right? So it's always just, like, unsatisfying as a story.
Yeah, it's just like, and you were also there. And it's like, and so this.
I just wandered around for a couple hours.
And so we've all, like, kind of had that when people used to, I think, not get the hint that dreams are just. Like, as dead as work in the audience.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. It's always death.
Well, you know, when we're all younger, we all think our dreams matter and like, have something to say. Like, I think the people that always think, like, you know, they claim to talk to a dead loved one in their dream or something. It's like, it's just your brain. Your brain's just hallucinating. Like,
but then what if it happens?
Yeah.
It's easy to say that until you have something happen, right? I don't think I've ever contacted anybody in my dream. I don't think anything like that's ever happened. But I used to sleepwalk.
Mm.
That's my brain doing something weird.
Mm-hmm.
I've ended up like outside, walking very far from a house. That happened. Don't remember any of that. You know, our brains can be weird with stuff,
that
right?
That is weird, yeah.
Who knows what these things can process, right? I don't know when or why that stopped. But yeah, I've done terrible things in my sleep. I've been acquitted for some terrible acts that I couldn't be held. Yeah. But I did it. I did it with my hands.
I got to say, I really love in this movie, too, that these people are seeing Nick Cage in their dreams, but he doesn't do anything. And his, like, when he's asking everyone what they dream about him doing, and everyone's just like, hey, you're just kind of there. The way he's just like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just really wishing there was like some heroic thing that he's doing.
I'm just like passing through,
and
huh?
It's just okay. So no, does anyone have any dreams of me doing anything interesting? And it's like, no, okay. I just love the idea of him. Yeah, he gets famous, but it's like he has no control over his.
It's incredible,
or the perception people have.
It feels like it does feel like a dream scenario. Like I'm not going to get fame for doing anything heroic. No doubt. Like, who needs it?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You've once told me some advice that was just like, never do like anything nice for someone.
I just gave you that advice?
Yeah, because then you always, you try to do something nice and it just, now you're involved. And if something goes wrong, you're somehow culpable.
Well, absolutely.
It's like, this is why you don't do anything nice
for
anyone.
Do not run into a burning building. You are going to get sued out the ass.
Right? Yeah, just don't
do it. You drop grandma in the hallway and she breaks her hip, you're done.
And so the idea of becoming famous for just suddenly people recognizing you as a guy. What if you were at a baseball game and you made like a cool catch? And it gets shown in highlight videos of cool catches for the next, who knows how many. You know, some guy recognizes you once and buys you a beer. Cool catch guy.
Mm-hmm.
You could be the cool catch guy, right? But also you could be like guy that accidentally knocks kid over railing at game.
Well, yeah.
You know, we it's don't
be Steve Bartman or what was that guy's name?
Bartman. The Cub, yeah, man. Cubs you're fan? You're just waiting.
That Cubs fan, that is a nightmare scenario. What happened to that
exactly
guy. That is the worst case scenario.
And so
he had to leave town. Like, he had to get out. I know. It's like, you could be the cool guy who made a catch, but if a bunch of like Dodgers fans come into a bar and see you, they're like, oh, there's that Giants,
there's this
fan.
Guy. Yeah, it could go wrong so quick.
Yeah.
And so this idea that you get this fame of just like, you're basically, Nick Cage is basically a guy showing up in the background of like two convenient photos. Like, if somehow Nick Cage just happened to be at the same place at the same time as Taylor Swift,
mm-hmm.
But he's just some guy, and then a huge Swift fan is just like, who's this guy? Why? And then everybody just started talking about the guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when that one dude named Ken Bone went on some town hall. We're just like, Ken Bone's our guy.
Yes. With the red sweater.
With the red sweater.
Yeah.
It's like Richard Jewell didn't go out. Richard Jewell and Ken Bone didn't leave their house looking like different versions of the same man and
so
being
many
like
cautionary tales.
Today is my day. You could be Ken Bone tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, some things are like, we play the odds. We're not voluntarily going on a town hall and being like, I'm picking out this sweater.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a mustache. So it's just like, I'm not that, you know, anything could happen, right? We're not so far from it. You could be Richard Jewell.
Mm-hmm.
You always say you have Richard Jewell vibes.
Putting a lot of words in my mouth this episode.
I remember you bringing that up a lot. No, but I think this movie has so many great gags within all the actual horror.
Mm-hmm.
It could have had legs as a movie as just Nick Cage being the frustrated guy who shows up as just a dud of a man. That is a funny gag. Just like, you're just strolling through. A great choice that the director makes, I loved, was how he filmed everything exactly the same. How every dream was filmed, it was shot exactly like a real life scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The content would be, you know, would make it more obvious. Sometimes it was a dream, but there was no like, it's not like he was trying to trick you with what's a dream and what's real life. I felt it was clear still.
Yeah.
But the way he, just these dreams would unfold, you wouldn't always know as scenes were starting.
Yes.
It just kept
especially
this,
the first time where it turns dark. Where and the person has their first nightmare of him,
yeah.
And yeah, you're going like, is he just gone insane? And oh, it's dreams. Yeah.
Imagine getting in contact with somebody you knew 20 years ago, which has happened to me now. We're old enough now that it's mm-hmm. like somebody from college will just be like, hey, I remembered a thing. What if I don't know if somebody the next one from a guy? It's like, I think I remember Brett. He's like, but I don't remember that other guy dying that night. Why are you bringing this to me now, Brett? Like, I don't know. That's going to happen. I was there that night, Eric. Which night? I don't know. We're waiting for it any day, right? So the idea that somebody from 20 years ago, I've been thinking about you a lot lately, but it's just like, you're just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a guy. It's like, you're not doing anything. You're just kind of strolling through. And then it cuts to this shot of Nicolas Cage just kind of like ambling through the frame of like a murder scene or something. And just kind of tossing out like, not like a cool guy. He's just being like, just a guy walking through like a caution tape area accidentally.
Right. Yeah.
Just a guy in a park, just like checking out a mushroom. Just a dweeb, right? And he's in other people's nightmares, but he himself is just this innocuous, recognizable figure. And
Until he starts murdering
people. Until he starts violently murdering people and becoming like Freddy.
Yeah.
It's a man's transition into Freddy who, for a guy who never does a thing wrong. An innocent man. Just an innocent man, right?
Just a man, yeah.
Just a normal man. And he is normal. He has his like quarter fly zip sweaters.
Man.
That they like.
That big puffy jacket he wears throughout the whole thing is just like, that to me was, that's when you know you've got a filmmaker who's like really working with something here. He's like, we're going big jacket on this
guy. I
don't
know. I like the dream that Cage is just showing up. He's like, I'm wearing the jacket. Because he gets that he's basically like 6'3" George Costanza.
Right.
In this movie. If Costanza became the like, I didn't do it guy. Or something. And it caught on and then burned out hard.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever happens. And, you know, if he's like Larry Bud Melman, but he's like Nick Cage, you know, we're making him a star. Who? You know, Yahoo Serious movies played here in the late 80s. Like, we try things, right? Fame is weird. And Nick Cage is just wearing these quarter zips that they like issue white men when they turn like 55. Yeah. The worst.
Just like and those brown, like not quite hiking boots, but just like big.
He's just ugly a dud,
shoes.
Right? He's like a smart but boring guy. He's got a hot wife that he's kind of cold with, and you know, kids are. He's not respected.
Yeah.
But then suddenly, like, you show up his dreams as just like an innocent man, just there, just like kind of shrugging at you, like walking into frame like Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes this like cult figure. How cool would it be to be cult figure guy? Like, if you were the guy that said something really funny on the news.
Yeah,
and you always looked the same, and then it was just like, it's the guy that said the funny thing on that that Halloween news broadcast.
But that's what I think is so funny about this movie, is that he doesn't say anything funny.
Mm-mm.
He's not known for anything except
just being there.
And you could see how he wishes there was more to it, but he'll take what he can get as far as the fame goes.
It was really messing with me that he's this like author who's not, the patheticness of not writing the book.
Yeah.
It's like it's speaking specifically to me as like a motivation. It's just like, well, at least I write.
Yeah.
Exactly. At least I got a book that's my nightmare scenario that's taken 4 years, but like, at least it's work every day, right? And hip. The sadness, if it had been like several years and I'm still just like, yeah, I'm like laying it out. I really got these ideas just like organized up here,
mm-hmm.
all up here. Like, you are listening to a bum. He's a guy who has to tell people he's a tenured professor because it's the only thing that makes him feel like
mm-hmm.
he's accomplished anything. And now he's just kind of a guy who cool, hot kids are like, you know, he's listened to and he's engaging as a professor now. You think this is going to be like a little Dead Poet Society? We're going to learn more. We're going to learn together. But it's this cult thing, right? He's a meme. He's getting courted by ad agencies now. Man, I would sell out so quick. I would merch.
I would do the Sprite.
Merch art. I would do the Sprite thing immediately.
Yeah.
Second they said six figures, and I said, I will pound as much Sprite as you want me to.
Do it in dream.
I will do anything with that Sprite you want me to. I will do it.
Good to see also Michael Cera coming in with his own hair and makeup.
Brother.
And costume.
I'm telling you, for as much as this movie was like tearing me up and making me think too emotionally, like, I love Michael Cera and Kate Berlant.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kate Berlant's head showing up, and I love all of her faces. I love her as a leechy ad ad exec.
That was the perfect kind of skewering of that.
Those two, man, that kind of comedy I'm a sucker for. When Michael Cera does the like, can we start over, and then just stares silently out the window for like a minute, right?
Yeah.
So we get those dips. I love that's we can't get a straight comedy in the theaters now, like just a normal like modern Eddie Murphy golden child low stakes ass comedy, right? It has to be like, how hard were you sweating during Bo is Afraid? It's literally this awkward kind of uncomfortable comedy, right? It's not, nothing can knock it out like Studio 666,
right?
That's a laugher. But the laughs in this one were so, can we start over? just being pitched these ideas to a 60-year-old man, you know, who doesn't understand the key. He doesn't understand his fame.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get that he's a flash in the pan catchphrase.
Right.
He doesn't understand. He thinks this is his like springboard. He's going to parlay it into real like success and respect.
Exactly. His thing is saying like, this is not what I want to be known for. It's like, well,
yeah, hate to break it to you, Richards.
I don't think your book on ants is going to do the same kind of cultural shift that
I know, man.
Being in everybody's dreams is going to do.
Oh, man, I got a book that's going to sell a dozen copies. Yeah. I'm there, right? It's great. We should have these pursuits, though. But it's the desire to be respected for these pursuits is a tough bridge. I love talking about movies. If I got to be the kind of person that demanded respect for talking about movies, that's a line that I've crossed, right? But the hubris and the kind of cluelessness, the sadness to not understand what kind of fame you had, but also the innocentness. This guy is kind of sadly fumbling his way through his fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't necessarily have to be tragic before the nightmares forced it to be tragic.
Yeah.
It was already heading down paths of not being able to handle it.
It was, in that first half of the movie, it's just kind of sad and pathetic kind of stuff. Yeah. Culminating in
So Nicolas Cage in this flick.
How do I say?
No. He I love this, what really brings, talk about a roller coaster of a scene. When Nick Cage is in this ad agency and getting kind of insulted. That they're seeing him as like a Sprite ad guy or doing like an AI funny ad with him already. They're trying to think of hip, cool ways to meme this guy out.
Yeah.
What brands to get him with, right? And he does not get it. He might as well be speaking a different language. And there's this like hot assistant sitting in there silently the whole time. When he's enough of a meme that hot girls are approaching him. Nick Cage keeps doing these meta movies, right? Pig is just one of those that feels too personal.
Mm-hmm.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is him just being Nicky Cage. Him playing years of Nicolas Cage and like tongue-kissing Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
It's so far through the looking glass, right? Where he's just like Nicolas Cage, just like, I thought for sure they were gonna bang. I was like, Cage is doing it. Like, he's lost his marbles. He's got to pay for another like dinosaur Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
He's lost it this time, right? And married Elvis's daughter. What? Elvis is like, what? What a sicko. What a god, right? And this culmination in like, trust me, Nick Cage now is like, can you imagine being a Nick Cage and just a 22-year-old pack of college girls comes up for whatever they know you from.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're a guy who's been in so many things and like their dads might have watched Con Air a bunch and they were into it, Nick Cage has been offered, right? Except we're seeing like the least cool version of Cage do it. And this is such a touching and such a then sad and terrible scene. But it's really getting real. When he doesn't understand the scenario he's in, that he's going to be cheating on his wife, because honestly, it should be entrapment. It's unfair. It should be illegal.
Yeah.
You can't put a guy like that in a scenario where you're a hot ad agency girl living in like NYC.
Right.
And then coming on to like, they can't handle it. It's not fair.
Well,
the playing field ain't level. He doesn't know what game is being played. Right.
When
the poor guy doesn't see it coming.
When she drops the bomb that she's had sex dreams with him, where he's,
that's not, the first cool dream, right?
That's the first time where he's actually doing anything in a dream. And it's these wild. And yeah, it's like, no. That girl telling you that she's having these wild, best sex she's ever had in her life dreams about you. And then inviting you to come over, like, it can't.
That's
like,
not fair.
It's no, and it's, you can't live up to those dreams.
That's not fair. Humans can't withstand
that's
that.
Too much pressure.
If I was staying in like a Radisson somewhere on a business trip, and a hot girl started saying like how cool I was in a dream she had about me, I would just be like, what else could I do with this information? I'm only a guy, right? Yeah. I'm only an, it is like a normal man. And so this, it does, this scene does this beautiful thing where I thought it was just going to be this kind of punishing, awkward scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it does this kind of beautiful turn.
It is that a bit, yeah.
It is terrible, right? It's the worst.
And it does awkward.
This, it kind of has this moment where you almost think he's finally getting it and he's finally going to like loosen up a bit. Like kind of hearing that like kind of starting to click that this girl like might actually like, I think something's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some thing. And he kind of like lowers it a bit. He kind of is like, no, tell me more. He might even have like made a joke. Like is the one, he takes the aggressive a bit. Mm. He's the one that like suggests, let's get another drink. Let's get another round. You know, he's the one, he's finally, like, that's the only time he's kind of the pursuer.
Right.
In this, right? He's kind of, and so it kind of like goes into this. And she's kind of like being more level with him. Like she's kind of calmed down too. Like it's one thing to like think about this, right? But now it's real. Now it's the execution.
Also though, my brain the whole time was going like, she's trying to seduce him to get the ad agency business. Like I also had that in my
mind. Of course.
Like, yeah, it's like, no, she wants the commission on this deal that she's going to secure.
Of course. But it's a level of fame that, like, if, you know, if you're in the band Rat, doesn't matter. If, like, if a girl thinks, if you're a groupie or a roadie for Rat and a girl thinks you're the bass player, what are you going to do?
Or thinks you can get her closer to
or
the bass
player. Or, yeah, exactly. But if you're like, you played bass, right? Man, I know the feeling. If you're like, if there's like a day at church where there's like people playing music and you're and you like are carrying a case somewhere to help somebody, 8 different people will tell you like you were great up there. They give you the glad hand. You were great up there, right? Scenario like this. Mm-hmm. Come on. Looking the part is most of it. But the idea of going viral, the idea of people just like that, not everybody's having the dream. It's like some of America's experiencing, the other people are like thinking it's a hoax,
mm-hmm.
or just not, or the news isn't reaching them. There could be shit happening on TikTok, I'm sure, every day. And since I don't follow any of it, I don't know what microcosms of drama have happened.
That's true, yeah.
We don't know how far and how wide a sense this spreads in the movie, right? Is it within his town that people are dreaming of him? Is it like a Pennywise thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts with like, innocuous. It builds to a sex dream and it builds up to this sex scene where I was kind of rooting for it at first, and it becomes just so unbearable and so raw because it's so sad when Nicolas Cage in Dream Scenario jizzes in his pants and then like lets out like a sweet just like trumpet of a fart on this girl's couch. You get yourself.
That's the hardest I've laughed in a long time.
You get
that,
happened,
that was perfect comedy. Him, him not even getting the pants unbuckled and just being like, was
the
beautiful.
Foley work on like the fart. I would love
the
idea.
Fart was even more. It was like a.
It was a nice little like a good little like bell like sound. And I love the idea of Cage not only like choosing his hair, but him like insisting on the right. Like I want to know. Who went to bat most for the fart? Because they did 2.
They did.
And I want to know if it got talked up or talked down. I want to hear so much about who contributed to the timing of deciding it. Like, for me, it feels like a huge decision. In my movie, I was like, do we go right back to a fart again? Do we hit it right again? Yeah. when she is asking him if he like finished and then he like farts like over her. It's like the placement, they had to choose where to place it, right? It's such
the first part is so funny because it's just like him then trying to explain like, you know, it's actually good for the body. Like, dude. The whole anytime anyone is like, well, you know, evolutionarily speaking,
she's so nice too. She's so sweet. Yeah, she's like the hot girl with a heart of gold. Her apartment
really,
is clean.
Yeah, she goes a long way to like make this happen.
Insane. You go to a girl's place after Cabernet and it's like a clean apartment and it's a cute apartment and she's like being nice through your like your khakis, mm-hmm. fart. what is so sad about him, like, jizzing in his pants at the same time. Like, almost like a sneeze. And just, like, it's all coming out, right? He doesn't know how to handle this fame. He didn't know it would come to blowjobs.
He might have shit his pants.
He never considered it came to blowjobs, right? Yeah. Never considered it. But, like, what's so sad is, like, we never hear about the time when Paul Stanley did that. The guys in Kiss have had worse happen to them, right?
Absolutely.
But they have such a higher percentage. They had so many more opportunities.
They weren't living in the internet age at
right?
that time.
They had so many more chances. It was different, right? We didn't hear about the time like Izzy Stradlin like had the exact same thing happen, right? Every member of Guns N' Roses was in this exact situation at one point. Tons of points, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Worse things happened to them, but it didn't matter. Because you're Duff McKagan, right? You're Steven Adler. You're gonna, and there's like a lot of beer and brown liquor involved, right? Bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, but it's like the first time, you know, there's a bad odds. Like Gene Simmons wasn't going out there the first time and doing this.
Well, also it's like, you could tell he's conflicted because he doesn't want to cheat on his wife and stuff. So
yeah,
when you're finally like, when you overcome that emotional barrier just to jizz in your pants.
It's such an insult, right?
It's like he's now technically cheated on his wife.
I know.
In the worst sexual encounter of probably
the
last 20 years. The
least fulfilling and the worst moment, right?
Yeah.
Terrible. The worst encounter that you've had.
It was not worth it,
right? So the idea that your first touch of fame is that, right? Sucks. Like, you get this lucky, you get this chance, this weird thing, right? And yeah, it's like he's so conflicted emotionally and morally, but it's the chance he never even considered because he didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see him almost understand it before then the worst kind of banana peeling happens. And then before you know it, you're a famous person's dream to an It Follows level nightmare where people are now seeing you and thinking of you doing heinous things and cannot separate you from things that you have no idea why it's happening. This is life ruining. He handled it incredibly. I would do everything he did in this situation worse. I would lose it.
When it all turns bad and he's basically persona non grata, like he can't go out and enjoy.
He's told
a sandwich
to leave places like a chain diner.
Yeah.
He gets beaten up.
Yeah, he basically has to become like he's exiled.
He's a pariah, right?
Yeah, he's like a leper.
Imagine going from this sweet fame where suddenly your students who were bored to death by you and talking over you are now lining up to get their own selfies with you in a day, in an instant.
Yeah.
It suddenly breaks, right? And imagine it turning a week later to a man telling you anywhere you are, nobody wants you here, man.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, showing up to your kid's baseball game that you're not supposed to be at?
Yeah.
How many nobody wants you here do you have to hear in your life? Hopefully never.
Spray painting loser on his van.
How would you handle that?
Yeah.
I'd handle it all terribly. We all get like a weird... I had that weird thing where I was mistaken for a celebrity a month or two ago.
Hmm.
Where I was mistaken for the guy from Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, yeah.
And when somebody sent me the pictures, it's just like, yeah, I guess I got to hand it to. It's a white guy who looks like me with glasses. Like, yeah, they're out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you could get tricked, that hadn't crossed my mind. I've never been mistaken for a guy to that degree where I could see up close that people were talking to me. When there's no way they had any idea who I actually was. They just heard that I was like a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a thing. And it became the most exciting thing that happened to me for like a month or two, right? It's a weird thing that happens. When a guitarist from the Gin Blossoms points at me at the crowd. It's just like, am I getting called up for the fucking Dancer in the Dark video here? Am I going to be dancing with Bruce? The guy's pointing at me and I'm going, I know I was singing Hey Jealousy good.
Right.
And I know I'm right in front of the stage, but it's like, is this a scenario where it's like, John Bonham took too many horse tranquilizers. Get a guy. Get a guy who knows the words. This guy crushed Hey Jealousy. I bet he could crush Found Out About You. I don't know what's happening to me, and I'm being surrounded. And women that are too old for me are taking pictures of me. None of, I couldn't find one of them.
And then you jizzed in your pants.
And then I came so hard. And, yeah, man. And I did. I handled it terribly. I was lying to people's faces from right. go. I took that opportunity and run. I became a liar. I pretended I knew Scott Weiland to a man.
That is shameful.
Right?
Shame.
He was wearing a Seven Mary Three shirt. It's like, what was happening to me this night? And it tastes good, man. It's weird. It's a weird thing to be walking and see two dudes who wouldn't, who you don't know, elbowing each other and like nodding in your direction.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this comfort for me where it's like, it was all good. They all thought I was a guy. They didn't think I was like N-word guy.
Yeah.
And they were like, get him out. Yeah.
That's
you know?
The guy that killed my friend in my dream.
Right. You end up with the same name as like my name's Dahmer.
Yeah.
It's like, woof. You know, just you can get mistaken for bad things anywhere. And so this, I lucked into, if that's the big one that happens to me, I lucked out.
Mm.
A dozen people thought I was a guy who had some hits in the 90s. And now I'm just walking around like a casino. And it's just like, he's just like us.
And you're the king.
Yeah. He's just like us, right? And then I just peaced out. It was like an hour of fame. It was like, it's good. It ended. The idea that it somehow continued and then somehow like I got canceled.
Right.
For something.
Oh my God. Can you imagine though, like halfway through the concert, like this, it was like Glenn Phillips was the guy they thought you were. So then it's like, breaking news.
Glenn Phillips is just like, you
know, wanted for assault or something.
Glenn Phillips choked four women.
Right,
it's like, we found Phillips.
Get him.
Phillips not found at his Santa Monica residence. He's at the Gin Blossoms casino show. Yeah, just jumped. He's headed for the window. My nightmare Glenn Phillips scenario, where I go from like 60-year-old women at their club show, like talking me up, to just being like, he's over there. Yeah. He's by the Willie Nelson slot machines. Terrible. And this idea of it, like going almost a meet, just the idea of being at a dinner party where you all realize you're having the same dream. It's just world changing.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Baker here in the most normal Dylan Baker role you've seen. What a likable guy Dylan Baker is,
still,
right?
Somehow
still
in this movie,
an asshole.
Looks like a cannibal in this movie. He has got some just extreme, like,
Baker's,
skin pulling.
Baker's got the look, man.
Yeah.
Right?
I
Baker's
love it.
The king.
I love the look.
Dylan Baker shows up in something, you know it's good. Dylan Baker's another guy that you know A24 is like, get him under.
Yeah.
Get him under key.
He's got the stamp of approval there.
He's the A24 old guy, right?
The friend who never invites him to the dinner party. And when he finally does, everyone cancels because they're having these bad dreams about him. And yeah.
The fame being so fleeting that you like get invited to the party at the peak of you being, you're an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people thinking about you? It's almost like this, it's like a Matthew McConaughey movie. It's like Ed TV.
Yeah.
We could go in that direction, right? What a funny thing to have happen and then stops. Like, remember that guy? And it's like the, where's the beef lady?
Mm-hmm.
We love her. We love her. We still think about her, right?
Absolutely.
We still remember it, right?
All the time.
And it could be that. It could be that. And instead, then you just start like murdering everyone and you become a pariah in like what, 3 days?
Yeah,
it's I love we don't know, but it's so quick that he gets invited to the party. By the time the party's happened, everybody else is canceled because nobody can be around him.
Yeah.
Students are afraid of him.
Yeah,
the university has to put him on leave because it follows. Some of the stuff is as scary as It Follows. When they have this school assembly of all the people that have been having violent nightmares about Nicolas Cage, Paul Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like trying to coach that. It's like, it's not me. It's a different guy that just looks like me that's haunting all of you. If you're a poltergeist,
yeah,
according to the tabloids, right? The shot of him walking at the end of this gymnasium. The way he approached all of them in all of their dreams. As the dreams start growing longer of him just strolling into frame, now he's slowly walking towards you to like bluntly hammer you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Or garrot you.
Yeah, they it's a very unnerving. Yeah, a lot of this movie's got this great kind of the depth to it, and the way it makes the theater at the end and the gym in that scene look so big and imposing.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Oh. Full agree. All the depth that they show, like I said, him walking at the back of that gym and him growing as you get closer. You know, one of the early dreams when he's kind of enjoying his newfound celebrity. He's enjoying the fact, honestly, innocently, as I said, that kids are engaged in his class.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the teacher who's found his like love of teaching again character for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he gets. But when the kids tell him it's like horror movie story, it's still true as funny because Nick Cage isn't the horror. But it's that kind of dream where you can't run away fast enough from this murderous, seemingly slow-moving, violent man. You know, suddenly you're... I have one occasionally where it's like, forget how to run.
Oh, yeah.
You forget how your legs work.
That's always a big one. I have dreams where I'm like crawling because I don't know how to run.
Yeah, you just can't figure out how to run, and suddenly it's like you figuring out which one goes in front of the other, and the guy's like, you can't get ahead of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy's describing that kind of dream, but at that point, Nick Cage is just kind of like walking through, like, just a guy.
Yeah.
Just a guy in a quarter zip, unaware. And even the guy's even communicating, like, you gotta hide, he's coming for us. And it's just like, unaware, innocent. And when it just transitions into him being the one stalking from far away and unable to be escaped from, turning into Fred Krueger
mm-hmm.
without molesting any children.
Yeah.
Being in a movie with Dylan Baker where Dylan Baker does not molest children.
That we know of fairly.
That guy, he's got some skeletons.
Yeah.
But yeah, this level of fame where... It's weird that 70-something-year-old George Harrison had a guy try to, like, stab him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, still? It doesn't end? It doesn't end?
Yeah.
Our last tour was 64.
Something happened to another Beatle with a crazy guy. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Harrison was pretty
Harrison's
bad.
The pretty famously attacked Beatle.
Yeah.
I can't think of the others, so I'm not certain. But, I don't remember what happened to Pete Best.
Crazy people in the Beatles.
Yeah, the Harrison attack. But look, yeah, Lennon one was political, right? Lennon was a guy who was like you get enemies, right? You get weirdos if you take a stance. George Harrison, what did he? Nobody knew. I don't know what the stance was for Concert for Bangladesh. I'm not up enough on it.
They were pro Bangladesh.
They were pro Bangladesh. I don't know what he was fighting for.
Probably
and at
pissed
that
off
point,
a lot of anti-Bangladesh people.
It's like, I don't know. I would be shocked if Ringo was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney, like, I could see the cute one getting attacked, right? Like, nobody likes your salad dressing, Paul and Linda. You know, but I don't know. Wings might have weird fans. You don't know. And so it's just weird. It's like, you can't escape it. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're still getting stalkers in like your 70s. Either you're Selena and you get your crazy stalker when you're like should be a megastar for the next 30 years, or you're a guy that's just like, you know, some weird guy finds out where Bruce lives. You're telling me guys in Asbury Park work? Yeah. When you find out Valanche's address, you go hang out for the king of the one-liners, right?
You check it out.
No, man. Some guy lives in Asbury Park, finds out where the boss lives. Yeah. He's mm-hmm. showing up with his copy of Darkness. He's showing up. He's going to want to ask him questions about Nebraska. When I was standing in line next to Neil Young at the Great American Music Hall bathroom, I'm going to have a dumb fucking conversation with Neil Young. I'm going to bring up On the Beach. I'm going to try and sound like a smart guy, and he's just waiting to be a super tall guy who looks like a country bear mm-hmm. waiting to use the urinal. I'm going to do it. And people are doing it with Cage, right? But like Neil Young only just plays sweet harmonica and guitar. He doesn't show up trying to like rape us collectively in our dreams.
No.
It's such a great concept for a movie where a guy just shows up as a villain and everybody has the same villain and it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't choose the bad stroke of luck we have on a given day. But I'd like to think that at some time you and I would not be dweebs enough to sit back and go and kind of appreciate even the bullshit of it all.
Now, let me ask you, because the other thing I really thought was very funny in this movie is the conversation he has with the agents after it's all gone bad, and they start pitching him all the right-wing Joe Rogan stuff.
Yeah, the Tucker Carlson.
He's now the bad guy, so it's like, well, the one way we can go is you know, complaining about cancel culture on Joe Rogan or something.
Yeah, you have to become a crusader.
Yeah, it was like...
Right? That's your only option. That's your only path,
yeah,
right?
Would you go down that alt-right path? Even in the movie, I think...
I would do that.
It's like, I don't know, I don't want to come alt-right, but you know, the Joe Rogan crowd.
I would do that now. If you were approached by anybody, that we have to be the guys that, like, you need to do American History X and not get it. I'd be like, what's, like, tell me, like, I'm afraid how
what's
low
the
I could
what's
go.
The figure?
Because I've established that I could do it for $0. And so I don't know what the figure would have to be like, sure, I'll sound even dumber.
Yeah.
I'll sound dumb in the way you want me to, sir.
Yeah,
so like, I don't know. So what, I kind of get the...
What's more pathetic is almost, to me, like the guy that sells out so that he can get that alt-right money, or, yeah, the guy who really believes that shit.
The ones that don't know it's kayfabe, right?
Yeah.
The people that were, like, dying of it because they didn't realize the people on Fox, like, got the shot.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like, oh, shit, we were doing it? It wasn't just lines? Like, they didn't know it was lines.
Right.
The ones that, they, like, true believers... That's where the fear comes from, right? True believers. But honestly, you put yourself in this movie, which I kept trying not to and being forced to the whole time. If you started having dreams about me attacking your family, and you started having them a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's one thing that we know each other and could describe each other and have probably dreamed about each other before, if it started happening that way... How would you be able to look at me?
Yeah, right.
How would it be possible? We know it didn't happen, but if you were like violently killing me in different ways, like how would I not be able to be, how would I be not edgy
mm-hmm.
around you? How could you not view that immediately as like your final destination moment? Where your brain is like, look, I'm telling you for the 14th time, he's the guy.
Bad dude.
Because what if it's happening when I'm finally getting knifed? At that point, I'm just like, God damn it. Like, man, it was right there in front of me. I could taste it. Didn't even see it coming. How would you do? Of course you would. And how could I blame you? But it would be the most confusing way to end a relationship.
Mm.
And that is what keeps happening to this guy. Keeps having these relationships go in places he didn't want them to go.
Yeah. That's a good tip actually out there for you people. If you want to end a long-term friendship and you don't know how, just tell them you have been having nightmares about them.
I'm seeing you
as sour real quick.
Like a sexual assaulter in my dreams. Nightly.
We're going to have to, yeah.
But it's cool sometimes when you're a guy that finds something that happened. It's cool when things happen. It's cool when some guy found out that the Melendez brothers were in the middle of a basketball card.
Sure.
That's, imagine the guy that found the first guy that saw the Billy Ripken card. Billy Ripken, like, fuck face.
Oh, yeah.
On his bat card. Imagine if it was like a 65-year-old card shop owner or like a bright-eyed 7-year-old kid getting a pack of Fleers. Imagine the joy, right? Imagine being the one that finds it, right? So imagine the weirdness of just being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The joy that comes with being a guy. By the time somebody's screaming at you, Paul Matthews attacked me, and it's just a series of misunderstandings that keep going bad for you, right? All the bad things that keep happening to Bo, when we're sitting in Bo's Afraid, knowing he's going to make the exact wrong choice and we're watching him make it as slowly as possible.
Yeah, right.
Just torturous, right? This was just stepping on rakes the entire time. You know what he could do to make it better, but you also see how it has snowballed beyond anyone's control. That's scary. When your fame goes out of your control.
Yeah. The accidentally cutting off the lady's finger while you're trying to go see your daughter's play and having... the worst fear come to life. That was a brilliant little bit of almost like a Looney Tunes-esque kind of...
Of course.
Ridiculousness.
Imagine being thought of as like the person who's not allowed places, right? And accidentally doing something with... all of his intentions are so good. Even when he makes the apology video online where he's like, I'm the victim. It's like, he is, but you can't say it. Yeah. And he doesn't know that you can't say it. You know how easy it is to mess up the like, I got caught texting a 17-year-old. I'm a stand-up comedian. My brain's broken. Text. You know how hard that is to do? Like, they mess it up every time because they're bad people, right? He's not a bad guy. He might not be the best, like, attentive partner. He's flawed and, you know, he's got the flaws that we all have. And then something unexpected and kind of fantastical happens to him. And it changes everything. None of us are prepared. None of us. None of us.
No.
And this is just a guide to all the bad things going on and all the bad choices we know you're making. If a killer came in here now, I'm beelining for those stairs. It's the worst thing, right?
I'm tripping
And I'm
you.
Going right there. And yeah, we're fighting there. Our way up. We know, right? There's so many weapons 6 feet away from me, right over there. I would run for the stairs. I know it. We're not like the cool John Wick characters. We're much closer to being Costanzas. And the real nightmares of this and the real emotion, the distance that starts forming between him and his wife.
He is and the fallout for her and the kids, right? These
imagine like, your dad going viral for being racist or something.
Yeah.
And not just viral, but the known guy for being this, right? That everybody's having the same negative experience. Jeez. What if your dad owned a restaurant that gave people like food sickness? That would be bad. But if your dad was just murdering your friends in their dreams, this is beyond like Nightmare on Elm Street right here, right? How much of this is prophetic? How could people not think of him as the man committing these acts? When does the line between dream and reality really cross? When does it stop feeling like lines?
Yeah.
You know, it all seems so fake, but what if? We don't know. Weird things happen. I met a woman from Healdsburg the other week that was 4,000 miles from Healdsburg.
Yeah.
That's weird. It means nothing, but weird stuff happens, right? What if you thought of somebody that you didn't know, and then you saw that person, and you recognized the person?
Yeah.
What if?
That's the kind of stuff that is almost, yeah. Maybe that's why this movie is so kind of unsettling and uncomfortable, because it's those are the kind of thought experiments that I don't really want to have to think about what if this and that.
I found out
life's
like,
tough enough. No, like that, you know, the one thing that I really do like about this movie is at the end where he's just kind of like, yeah, I actually had it pretty good. I had a wife and kids and home and job, and normal is not bad.
Right.
Right. And at least, you know, for most of us, and that idea of he's always wanting more or thinks he deserves more, or and when he finally gets this taste of it, he realizes how awful that is.
Yeah.
And how he just wants to go home now and just have that family, normal life he had before.
I'd like to think that I'd be a guy who liked being recognized. Let's in this hypothetical, if I did something like cool.
Yeah.
If I was in a couple of movies and a couple of TV ads and said something funny in a Starburst commercial that's remembered in a cool, positive, non-canceled way, right? And I'd like to think that I'd be good with taking selfies, right? I took a lot of photos as Glenn Phillips. When I impersonated the guitarist from Creed into bank fraud, I took photos as the guy. No, but like, there's got to be a line. There's got to be a time where it's just like, come on, I'm eating. Like, I'm with my family. Like, what's the bad day, right? You know, how was it for Kurt Cobain? You know, everybody thought he had a problem, right? Maybe he just wants to sit in the back of the car for a bit on the way to from the airport, right? They can catch you. You're watched 24/7 now, right? They catch you in bed. If somebody spray painted loser on the side of my car, I would flip out tomorrow. Famous or not, recorded or not, what am I going to do when you come up and find your car spray painted, right?
Yeah.
It's reactions that any man would have, but now you're being judged under a microscope. And I'm not sticking up for all canceled people, but it's just saying, like, man, we're closer to being canceled than not. The rules change on us, and we might not have caught up. No matter how good the intentions, right? Might not be up to us. And we aren't going to handle it well. can happen for anything. People die while taking selfies. You know, things happen. Accidents happen all the time. You could get a famously bad one. You could end up on Coffin Flop. Like, it could be over, right? If you have a famous death, I don't know. I don't know what that means, but it's out there, right? And this movie is just so real for such a fantastical scenario. But it's like if being John Malkovich, everybody just started hating John Malkovich. Mm-hmm. Instead of wanting to experience the life of John Malkovich, it's like if people just thought he was the guy from In the Line of Fire every day, and they got tricked into thinking that he was an assassin. And everybody tried to be a hero that stopped him. Everybody's brains just broke about him.
Yeah.
What if?
That's got to happen to some actors, though, too, right? Guys who play villains all the time. Yeah.
Oh, people, you know, depending on who you are, you're getting bad guy reactions at places. Yeah. People don't know real. People don't know lines. You know, some Mel Gibson gets some guy that comes up to him that only knows him from Bird on a Wire. And you're suddenly required to be Mel Gibson, 7 years old, at like a golf course bar, having to remember lines from Bird on a Wire to a guy. It happens, I'm sure, right?
When all you really want to do is be anti-Semitic.
Right, yeah, you're just trying to be super, like, racist and, like, super misogynistic, yeah. Right? Very anti-Semitic. You're just trying to live your life. You did the beaver.
You did know? What you could, yeah.
You did, right?
Alec Baldwin certainly didn't think he was going to be most famous for a certain
thing. I know, right? Imagine being the guy who, like, called his 11-year-old daughter a pig on, like, a recorded phone call. And then it's just like, I would do anything for something more famous to knock this thing. Exactly. Ruh-roh.
No one even thinks about the pig voicemail
check
anymore.
Check, please. Cage drops a check, please, sincerely in this movie. Oh, man. At least nobody talks about me calling my daughter a pig anymore, right? Whew.
I'm off the hook for that.
That blew out of town. Oh, man. Right? We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. We've recorded hundreds of hours of us talking about movies.
This one movie.
I can't promise you that everything I said was on the level. Over 240 episodes. Go back and comb through them.
Yeah, we...
It's all right there. You can edit.
I would like to make it clear, I would not cheat on my wife with a 22-year-old if I was famous for being in her dreams.
This girl was technically 28 by the storyline math.
But, you know.
I don't know. It feels like illegal. It feels like a trap. It feels like a trick. What did Izzy Stradlin do the first time? We don't know. But we saw what Paul Matthews did, and it was brutal, and we lived it. This movie is lived. These movies make me think too much. They get me too emotional. They're too affecting. But I think they're effective for a reason. I think this was great.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with this movie. I've been impressed with just Nicolas Cage for 4 years now. This is some of the absolute best work of his career. Not just Dream Scenario, all of this.
Totally.
We'll come back with The Old Way. We'll do Mandy eventually.
Absolutely.
Pig, I said it before, masterpiece. And he's just like on a level. He's still picking out his hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's still working with the Foley guy to get just the right level of flatulence. Just the right timber.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. He's losing himself more and more. He is like this familiar Nick Cage. But he is just acting. He's good. We should do more of this guy.
I think we will.
I think it came to this.
Yeah.
Dream Scenario messed me up. But it's a real movie. It's a thinker.
Itself in your head there. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to be thinking and analyzing and going over this and just thinking about the concept of fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the concept of the grass being greener. You can view this as a positive of just like, hey, things aren't that bad.
Exactly.
You know, I got problems. But we all got worries, right?
I mean, honestly, at this point in my life, dreams are like kind of a burden to me. I like would rather not have them. And so often I wake up in the morning like relieved that I don't have to deal with what I was dealing with in the dream.
Right.
Right? So that's kind of, yeah, that's sometimes it. That's kind of how I felt. Yeah. After this movie, it's kind of like, whew, glad I don't have to go through that shit.
I'll get one good dream, like one totally out there celebrity encounter dream, like once a year. And other than that, it's like I wake up, it's like for all I know, I don't dream. No more sleepwalking for this young buck. Them days are gone. That part of the brain must have just was like, all right, this is pointless.
Yeah.
We're shutting down.
It's all stress dreams for me.
It's all bad, right?
Yeah.
And what if you were the source of that stress?
Yeah.
It is a fun idea, a fun concept. This movie's nothing but fun set pieces. It's got Tim Meadows in it.
Yeah.
Love when Tim Meadows shows up in a thing. Put Tim Meadows in more indies. I love that guy. No, this is a great movie.
Yes.
There's a lot of great Cage on streaming now. The guy's the king. The awards are coming.
Let's keep it going.
He keeps this up. The awards are coming.
I hope so.
Came to this. It's a Cage cast.
It's from here on out.
That's it. I'm Eric.
I'm Charlie. Thank you for listening. Good night.